Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 133 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And with me, as always, is my partner, crime, a backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on?
Good evening, Mr. Hunyadi. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're burning up over here. Just broke a record of most days over 115 in a row.
Oh,
so
man.
It's something to look forward to when you get out here in August.
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I will.
We got air conditioning in the car. Don't worry. You'll be all right.
I just, the least amount of times I could be outside would be great. Like record store, yeah. Car, hotel, right. Car, record store, restaurant, done, bye.
Yeah. That'll be perfect. So as you can see, we've got a guest today. Our guest is an amazing individual. He has a great show. Great channel. He is Matthew Street, and his name, YouTube channel, is Matthew Street, but he does so much more. He's part of Fab Gab with Joe Mayo, and he's got another show with a gentleman who we won't name, but no, I'm just kidding. He's Steven Schnee, and he's got a power pop show that he does with him that we'll talk about in a little bit. But Matthew Street, I'm so excited to have you here. Been wanting to have you on for a while now.
I appreciate it. I mean, I've been watching you guys for a long time. I love the show. I love what you've been doing with the Breaking the Paul albums over the last, God, several months. You guys have a great show. And for me, it's an honor that you even thought of me to ask me to be here. So I'm really stoked to be here. This is great.
Thank you. Yeah. So let's, news wise, we know what's out there. We've talked about the Get Back stuff already. Both of our channels have, and there's also a new photo book by, wasn't it Harry Benson?
$750.
Yeah. The price tag on that is just outrageous. Along with something else you're buying. that's another story for another time. But
we had official video for Sliding dropped today.
Oh, did it? I did not see that. So
yeah,
not either. No.
Yeah, it just dropped today. He's not in it. It's like a video of a guy surfing and stuff. But I did notice it on my YouTube feed today, and it was a new drop. Yeah.
Oh,
not a lyric video, just a regular video.
Regular video. Okay, cool. Very good. We'll have to check that out. But Matt, let's talk about you. You and your channel, Matthew Street. How long has it been going? What does made you decide to put yourself out there in the YouTube world?
Thanks. I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version. It was about 4 years ago. It was early 2017. But let me go back a few months prior to that. Not to be a downer to start the show, I hate to do this, but the reason I started the channel, in August of 2016, I lost a really close music and Beatles buddy. He passed away, and it was devastating. He was, like my Beatles, kind of like we all do on YouTube here with Paul and the Beatles. We commiserate. We have that communal activity together. Well, he was my live in-person guy for that. He was, when I lost him, that was a big blow to me. It was just devastating, needless to say. And so it had to be about 5 months after that. I was watching YouTube in late 2016, and I saw Joe Mean Mr. Mayo's channel. I saw the Tim Allen channel, Ed from the King's Court, who does a lot of Elvis. Tim Allen at the time was doing a lot of power pop and Beatles and stuff.
Okay.
And I said, wow, you guys could probably relate. As you watch people's channels, you kind of feel like you get to know them. Like, I like his personality. I like the way he presents himself. He's talking about cool stuff that I like to talk about with, my friends. And of course, my friend who had passed away, we used to do that all the time, sit around, have a drink and a pizza and play some Beatles or Paul and talk about it. And so it just really was heartwarming to me to see these guys up there talking about the stuff I loved. And I said, I'd like to get in on that. And I don't want to just be a commenter like, hey, love your video. I want to experience that. I want to make friends with people. I want to relate to other people in the same way. And so I got up the nerve in early 2017, started the channel. And it's, mainly a Beatles channel. I'll say 60, 70% Beatles and then 30 to 40% power pop, a little Elvis. I love Buddy Holly, stuff like that. So I've kind of spread it out a little bit. So that was my impetus, start this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not shy. You appear to not be shy in your videos, and especially because you are pretty opinionated. I mean, that's one of the things I like about your show, even though I don't always agree with your opinions. Via the McCartney 3 fake ranking or starting. But that's okay. I mean, we all have our opinions, and that's fine. But you also have this really cool series too, because what was called Matt Mangold's McCartney.
Yeah, I haven't done one in a while. I'm up to Flowers in the Dirt. I've got to get that rolling again. It just kind of got put on the wayside. But yeah, I just basically try to take a Paul album and relate to what I was doing in my personal life at that time and moment when it came out. And people seem to gravitate towards it, and they say they like it. At first I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. I met my wife when this album came out, and we used to love this song. And I said, well, people really care about that stuff, but people seem to like to hear your personal experiences. So
yeah,
I've been keeping it rolling,
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's, and you've been around since the beginning of Paul's solo career. Hence you've been able to do this series.
Yeah.
But what's your take on the Beatles themselves? I mean, would you consider yourself a more of a Beatle fan or more of a solo fan or both together?
Well, it all started for me with the Beatles when I was 3 in 1964. I tell the story, but I'll keep it brief. My parents bought me a couple of records. They were a little too old for the Beatles. They were in their early 30s when the Beatles came to America, like 32 and 33. But for some reason, they thought it was a novelty, or they thought it was cute, or be something, they saw that it was something the kids were gravitating towards. So I was only 3, 3 and a half, but they bought me a couple of albums, A Hard Day's Night and Meet the Beatles. And they used to play them on the little hi-fi up in their second floor apartment in Rhode Island. And that's where it took off. I just became a Beatles fan as the years went on. I got more sophisticated with it, more involved. And yeah, by the end of the 60s, I was a full-fledged young fan of 8 or 9 years old. And so I'd say the Beatles are in my heart as number one. But yeah, I do love Paul, John, George, and Ringo. I love all the solo stuff. I'm a fanatic about that too. So, but I'd say Beatles are probably my number one,
And that's fair because, I think that's how a lot of us get into the four as individuals, is because of the music of
right.
the four.
Exactly.
Beatles.
Yeah.
Would you say that was the case for you, Andy?
No, it was not. No, I discovered the solo careers.
Oh, you did?
First.
Okay.
And then went back into the Beatles because I just, I grew up in the early 80s. So the video age, of course. So I used to see a lot of Lennon videos were on a lot then, Woman and Starting Over. And I connected with that first. And then through my father's albums, because he's a first generation Beatle fan. So he had them all. And I was able to kind of say, okay, that guy in that video is the guy with these other three guys. And that's how I did it. So I actually went solo first and then into the Beatles.
And did you go backwards with solo too? Like, did you get into the current solo when you first became aware of solo and then go?
Yes. Back? Yeah, oh. yeah. Yeah. Pretty much like the first, I remember like current album for Paul for me would
be
Flowers in the Dirt as being like the first new album I was aware of, and then just went back from there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how I did it too.
Cool. Very cool. So we'll get more into your channel a little later on.
I appreciate the
Fab Gab and the show you do with Stephen Schnee as well.
How'd you get so many subscribers in 4 years?
It goes in waves. You guys know, I mean, certain things you get involved in, or when something new comes out and you happen to just time it right, like Paul will do something new and I happen to hear the news when I'm on a day off or something, and I get it out there within like an hour after the news breaks. Seems to be when I tend to get a lot of views on something. If I wait, or I just like put something on the back burner and say, yeah, I got to review that, but I'll do it later. If I wait several weeks or a month, it's like I'll still get views and new subscribers, but not as many. I think a lot of it is breaking news, just being on top of things. And I got to be honest, there's people out there a heck of a lot better at that than I am. Look at Joe. He's just, he's a juggernaut
there's times where you get it in. Yeah. There's times where you get those videos in before he does.
There was something not too long ago. I just happened to be home and saw the breaking Beatle news. We all you know, subscribe to different forums or ways we get our news. And it just, there it was, you know, it was right there. Like, oh, I got to get on this. So I just do a quick, and I got to be honest, guys, I sometimes I'm ashamed of my videos because I don't edit. I don't do fancy graphics flying in. Frozen pictures. I'm one take and done. I just get up there. I just say what I
have to say. You just throw it up there and that's it.
If I spit and stutter or burp or whatever, I leave it in. I don't know how to do all that stuff. So yeah. In that sense, I just do things quick like that and throw it up there. But there's people that do it a heck of a lot better and more flashier than I do, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does help the channel if you're able to be, well, let's say, one of the first 2-3 people within that first hour of the
break. To go live and go do it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And get that video out. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. That's a big help. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not a fanatic about it, guys. If I happen to get something out there, great. But I don't, believe me, there's a lot of stuff I miss. And I just like, because like you guys are busy with your careers and your life and stuff. And sometimes I just can't put the time in, you know?
It happens. Yeah, exactly. There's times where I wish that we were able to coordinate. I'm 3 hours. I'm, you know, because Arizona, we don't participate in the daylight and the, you know, saving times and all that stuff.
Right, so right.
I'm either 2 hours or 3 hours behind Andy. So it's tough to sometimes coordinate a time for us to, you know, go live and talk about breaking news or whatnot.
Right, just, exactly.
Yeah. And it's great that we can connect this way, you know, through all this stuff and do it. But time zones, and as you know, it's just, it doesn't always line up to be able to cover the breaking news that way.
Exactly.
Yep. But you can't cover everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so I'm grateful for what I have, and you guys are doing great too. I see you.
Thank you.
Subscribers have really shot up over the last year or so. I mean,
yeah, the ranking, the tracks things really, really helped.
It's really resonated with people. Yeah.
Responded very positively to that. So that was a lot of fun just seeing everybody's comments and how much they enjoyed it and participating in their own rankings, you know, and getting to see how different everybody's rankings have been.
Plus, it's one of the things I think that we've had our channel for, I think, what, 2 years now, Tom?
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah.
So we're very just Paul-centric, right? So like your channel is everything. It's all the solos. It's Beatles. Joe does everything. We pretty much just stick to Paul. So if our subs are going to be a little bit slower trickling in, it's only because we're not covering John.
Right. You know? You're focusing on one specific thing, but you're really, you're great at it though, you know? Mm.
Wow, which, thank you. But we talked about the George box set. I mean, we're going to bring in other strands of stuff. How can you not talk about it? It's Beatle news, you know?
I know. Yeah, I know.
And, bravo for your George Harrison box video.
Oh, that was tremendous. That was tremendous.
Sometimes I'm probably turning red because sometimes I'm embarrassed by that stuff. And sometimes I'm like, hell with it. I'm just going to put it up there. You guys get the same thing. You get crazy ideas what to say or do on your channel. Yeah. And I just said, and believe me, I'm not making fun of it in the sense it may come across to some people, but I actually think it's a cool box. And I say hats off and salute to anybody who's going to be getting it. And I look forward to seeing it. I can't wait for Joe to open it. And Tom, did you say you're getting one?
I think. Yeah, Andy and I are getting one too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't. you're gonna split it up, you know?
No, we're gonna we'll have a special one-off Harrison two legs unboxing.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're both getting it. This isn't a joke here.
No, we are.
I thought you were gonna get one and split it. You know,
no.
You know, gnome. I'll take George. You get
right. Yeah,
you get two albums. I get three CDs.
I'll freaking the crazy.
No. I can't wait. Honestly, I'm excited about it. I only did that video just to kind of show the craziness of box sets and how excited we get for them, you know, because I love Paul's archive series.
Yeah, no, in a way too. I mean, that's definitely like the humor side of George Harrison as well too. So, I mean, good job.
Yeah, that's what some people said to me. George, George would have liked that. I said,
George is very humorous.
I joke with some people. I say, well, that's it. If I was on Donnie's list to get one, I'm screwed now. I'm not going to be getting I'm off the list. My name's been crossed off. Get that.
There you go. Out.
But
no, I would hope that they would get a chuckle out of that.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. But today's show, we're talking about McCartney as a lyricist. And what we're going to do is we're going to present our five favorite McCartney lyrics. It could be the whole song. It could be a line of the song. It could be the chorus or a verse. It doesn't matter. We're just going to talk about what we feel is the best of McCartney as a lyricist. In our opinions, we're not really necessarily saying these are the best McCartney lyrics. No, these are just personal and to us. And please, in the comment section, you know, give us your list of your favorite McCartney lyrics. And they could be the same as some of the ones we have here. But let's just talk about McCartney as a lyricist to begin with. Matt, you know, as a big Beatle fan yourself, you know, we've seen McCartney grow as a lyricist from, like, you know, Can't Buy Me Love to, you know, or Hold Me Tight, Can't Buy Me Love, and then into some more sophisticated stuff like Yesterday and Eleanor Rigby. You know, what were your thoughts as McCartney as a lyricist during the Beatle years?
During the Beatle years, I think Paul is an outstanding lyricist during the Beatle years. He's just top notch. You know, there's a lot of talk out there with people like, well, you know, John was the more this and Paul was the less.
Right.
I don't believe that. I think Paul could do it all during the Beatles. He could do the whimsical, fun stuff. He could do the really heavy, serious stuff, the stuff that really had a lot of meaning and emotion attached to it. So, yeah, top notch in my book. Paul's a great, great lyricist. One of the best ever.
Yeah. Andy?
Agreed. Whether it's just Beatle period or, you know, post Beatles, it doesn't matter. You know, it gets a lot of flack, especially post 1970.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah.
Lots of flack for his lyric writing, especially there in the 80s, you know, Dustbin Lid and all that stuff. So I don't think there's moments there where it's not as great as it is in terms of some of his songs there. You know, as a solo career, obviously compared to the Beatles, but I think on the whole, he's still it's strong, and you know, I don't think he's weak. You know, he has dips of songwriting, weaker songwriting moments. He does. And we're not going to say we love everything he does. You know, there's things that we don't like, and there's some song lyrics that really don't resonate well with me within his career. But by and large, those are very few and far between.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed that, you know, Shane, you notice changes throughout the years when you dive into McCartney's, you know, lyrics as a Beatle and a solo artist. But, you know, I've always contributed to, okay, well, in the Beatle, he's always had Lennon in his back pocket. You know, Lennon was there to, you know, say, oh, that was a good idea. Not so much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all know the story for Hey Jude. And, you know, you're not going to take that part line out, you know. And he's always, you know, there. But then I think he also had a great muse in Jane Asher, too, with some of these great songs like Another Girl. You know, the ones from Rubber Soul.
You won't see me for no one.
Absolutely. So, you know, and even Eleanor Rigby, which I know Lennon probably had a hand in, but I mean, the lyrics, you know, so much, but then you get something like, why don't we get in the road?
Right.
But they were more consistent, I think, during those years, as in the greatness. I mean, people consider, you know, Yesterday, I mean, obviously that's the most, you know, covered song in history. And deservingly so, but
you know, he didn't have anybody, not to cut you off, Tom, in the last 50 years, you know, to tell him that song sucks.
And that's
don't do it.
Is that his career has been so long. He's got a 50-year solo career. And like Andy was saying earlier, it's bound to go in ebbs and flows. It's going to go up and down. There's going to be moments of brilliance, and there's going to be moments where his lyrics aren't as great. I mean,
not without a guy, a Lennon, to tell you, cut that shit out. It's not good.
And I think I wish John and George were still with us now. And I think even if they had 50-year careers each, it would be ebbs and flows. It wouldn't be all top-notch lyrics from John. He'd have moments where it was dipping and come back again. And, you know, who knows? Someone like Buddy Holly, had he lived for the last 60 years, he would have had, I'm sure, Dogs, and he would have had some.
Well, you
great
know,
lyrics,
it's
you know?
It's funny too. You kind of on the same point there, Matt. I was watching the Jeff Lynne documentary, Mr. Blue Sky, where Paul's in there talking about the work that Jeff Lynne did on the tracks and how they went to go do the third track Now and Then, but George didn't like it, and Paul's going, this is John. John wrote this, you know, and George is like, doesn't matter. It still sucks. You see? Yeah. So that just goes to prove your point, you know?
Right. So, yeah. So Paul's has such a long career. It's bound to go up and down.
Andy, for you, what makes, you know, when you're listening to McCartney songs, what are the themes? I mean, what kind of lyrics, you know, get to you when you're listening to McCartney?
The emotional ones, the emotional ones, the reflective ones, the sad ones. Not that, I mean, we love all of Paul's stuff, right? We're major fans.
Exactly.
But the more sentimental ones are the ones that resonate with me more, the most. Because you could just hear his heart and soul in those lyrics. And the all five that I chose today have all those same themes.
Right. What about you, Matt?
I'm going to have to go with Andy on this one. Andy and I could match on a few here because I love Paul's emotional lyrics that speak about life in general, family, loved ones, loss, anxiety, you know, relationships.
Yep.
I love that stuff from Paul. It's my favorite. I love, like Andy said, I love all his stuff, but that topic really resonates with me now that I'm an older citizen, you know? Right. And so, you know, going through life and some of the things Paul writes about and sings about really hits home with me as far as, and you'll see it in the picks that I do today, is that
it's going to
reflect that coming from a middle-aged to upper middle-aged man.
Sure. I mean, you'll still rock out to Magneto and Titanium Man.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Love songs. But.
Right. But certain, and you love them, but there's certain songs and meanings that just resonate with you differently.
Yeah. When he's singing about stuff that I can relate to some aspect of my life, that's the stuff that I really love from Paul. Yeah.
What about you, Thomas?
You know, I agree, but he's always really positive for the most part. And I think that's a lot of what gets me going. I mean, the ballads are great. You know, the rockers are great, but I mean, it's like the easy lyrics, like, you know, listen to what the man said, or even, you know, with a little luck, you know, the outlook is great. You know, even with the it's going to be okay songs, like Always Somebody That Cares or Too Much Rain. You know, he's always got a positive outlook for the most part, you know, in his songs. And I think that's why I, you know, I am so passionate about McCartney's, just because it's just always happy for the most part listening to his music, you know?
Yeah. Even when you're feeling down, he can lift you up.
Exactly.
Lyrics and music.
Yeah, so we're gonna go over our five favorite lyrics from McCartney, and Matt, why don't we start with you? We'll take turns. We'll rotate going first. So Matt, why don't we start with you? What's one of your five favorite McCartney lyrics?
Well, one of my five favorite, and it comes from this album right here. Chaos. I brought a couple of CDs up with me, and Tom, you just talked about this one. So I a little smile. I was almost going to say something, but we all suffer pain in life. We all hurt. Life can be difficult at times. We all go through it. You know, the stress of job, family responsibilities. And I'll be the first to tell you, it can get overwhelming at times. And it has in my personal life. I can tell you that for sure. And sometimes you just need to slow things down, chill, learn to relax, and just laugh about things, enjoy your life, and be at peace with yourself and what you've been given. And for me, Too Much Rain, and Tom, you mentioned this one, this is the first one I thought of, is laugh when your eyes are burning, smile when your heart is filled with pain, sigh as you brush away your sorrow. Make a vow that it's not going to happen again. It's not right in one life, too much rain. Too much for anyone. It's too hard for anyone who wants a happy and peaceful life. You've got to learn to laugh. And to me, a simple lyric, but it says it all for me. Right. You know,
and that's great. That's definitely one of the.
That's my number one.
That's definitely one of the tracks when Chaos came out. I played that one over and over and over again. I mean, it's very beautiful. Very, you know, positive, and let's look on the bright side or whatever. Yeah. But
we're going to go through the muck. We're going to be in the muck, but we can come out of it.
We can all relate to that. And I think that's what makes that so great. Andy?
Very relatable, and that was my number five song as well. It was the first song I thought of, one of the first ones I thought of, and I wrote it down in my little cheat sheet here of notes. I wrote the first couple of lyrics down, but Matt, you hit it to the point. I really don't care if we match up and have, because you know
what? Yeah, you know what? I like that we can.
I like that. Yeah, and, it's one of those songs that it just hits you. It hits you right in the heart when you hear it, because if we've all gone through crap in our lives, good and bad. And when you hear a song like that, it just washes away all that freaking pain.
Absolutely.
Whatever hurdles you might be going through at the time, you know, and I think that's a song that does that, you know, laugh when your eyes are burning. It's like, you know, and it's a side of him that you don't really see too often when Paul. So when he's going to get deep like this, you kind of tune your ears up a little bit, because it's like, this isn't just thumbs up Paul going, you know, okay, it's great. No. Like, this is a serious thing.
He's talking about something important and you listen, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost, I feel like it's a trilogy of songs starting with Somebody Who Cares, Too Much Rain, Who Cares? And I think kind of, I feel like that's a kind of like a trilogy of, you know,
right.
Yeah.
So you can get through it kind of songs, you know, there's always going to be somebody there, you know, help you out. So cool. Okay. So both you guys right off the bat came out with Too Much Rain. I love it. Good stuff.
What do you got, Tom?
I'm going with a little more fun direction.
Okay. You
know, I love the Rockers, always have. And this one is a lot fun, a little raunchy, you know, but I went with the second verse of Hi, 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 which is, you know, one of my all-time favorites. And it's, well, take off your face, recover from the trip you've been on. I want you to lie on the bed, get you ready for your polygon, which we'll get to in a second. We'll get to in a second. I'm going to do it to you. Going to do it, sweet banana. You've never been done. Yes, like a rabbit. Going to grab it. Going to do it till the night is done.
Oh, you dirty, naughty boy. You know,
come on.
Nice wordplay.
You know, so close to, you know, everybody, I think, thinks he's saying body gun. You know? Which, you know, come on. If you're talking like that, I mean, it makes more sense that it's a body gun and not, you know, polygon. You know, what does that even mean?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like there's a certain side of, I mean, Paul every once in a while can get kind of raunchy like that. And I think it's just fun.
It's such fun wordplay, too.
Exactly. And that's why I've always enjoyed that line from Paul from Hi, Hi, Hi. So
that's a cool one.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to go round two here. We're going to start off with Andy on this one.
Okay, more of the same. This one's a little more personal for Paul, but it has that same kind of vibe to it. And I went with, now everybody has their own opinions of who did this and who did that. But as for me, I don't see how they can remember when they weren't where it was at. Early days. Mature Paul. Say, just telling everybody, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, anybody, okay?
Right,
I don't care how many books you've written. I don't care what you've done. You weren't there. And to me, when you hear that song go off, it's a prideful moment for him. Cheering him on, telling him, that's right. This is exactly what you should be saying, because they don't know what they're talking about. And that song, early days, everything about it, the drums in it as they kind of get going in it. And I remember that was when I heard that song, and I'm like, oh, he's finally just lashing out at everybody. I love it. And that's why I went with that lyric for that.
That's a great one. Great one.
Yeah, no, it is. But then the counter to that is always that he's not always the best person to remember his life either. You know what I mean?
He has that luxury. If he doesn't remember, oh, well. But,
documentaries and stuff, you know, how they all have different answers to different things. That's
exactly fun. Exactly. Yeah. So, all right, I'll go with my number two.
Sure.
I'm a big, you know, wuss. I love the ballads, one of my favorite aspects of Paul's career. This one I'm kind of cheating on because it's a co-write with Linda. So we really don't know if Linda helped with these lyrics, but I'm going with it anyways. And this is from Some People Never Know. And it's
what a great song.
Only love can stand the test. Only you outshine the rest. Only fools take second best. But it's so, some people never know. That's my favorite part of the song. I love the whole song. The whole song could have been like my choice. But that's like the part that's always, you know, grabbed me the most. Like I said,
good lyric, and, brother.
Yeah, no, and you know, he has a great ability to write these, you know, moving pieces in his ballads. Mm-hmm. And I think this, you know, this is no exception here. So
and a lot of times they're very simple words, but they ring so much meaning to them, you know.
Exactly.
They don't have to be all complicated and with 12 letters in the words.
He
nails it in very simple terms, and I mean, it's very deep.
Right. Okay, so Matt, you're up for number two, buddy.
Okay, well, I'll stay in on that theme a little bit. When you know, you find that one true love in your life, we all are searching for it. We hope to find it. You're opening a closed heart, perhaps, with different relationships. And so I'm going to kind of like dedicate this to my wife, you know, or your loved one. And you guys, you know, maybe will feel the same about this, but it's a newer song of Paul's. And it's called Seize the Day. I bless the day when you came into my life and I could finally roll back the blind. You helped me realize that love was the greatest prize. I only had to open my mind and seize the day. Wow. Now, someone could look at those lyrics a little differently. If you listen to the whole song, you could interpret a lot of meaning into seize the day. But for that little, those simple, three little simple lines, that kind of sums it up for me and my wife. You know, you've been through ups and downs. You've been through trials and tribulations through our entire marriage, having kids, raising a family, you know, bills and stresses. But, you know, meeting you was the greatest prize. I just love that line, you know.
You know, thank you for that because, you know, I mean, that's like one of the songs that I really haven't caught on to on McCartney 3. So maybe I'll go back and listen to it, you know, with that kind of thing in mind.
Please
maybe
do.
That'll help, you know.
Yeah, it's that little piece of it just struck me and I said, wow, that it's simple, but it means so much, you know?
Right. Very good. Well,
that's love my second one.
Excellent. All right. Moving on to number three. I'll start off with this one.
Go for it.
This is a quick one. We're going back to the Chaos and Creation album. This is probably my second song, my second favorite. I got so many favorite songs on this album. It's ridiculous. But this is from How Kind of You. And again, this is, you know, Paul feeling down, and coming back with new love or whatever. But it says, how kind of you to stick by me during my during the final bout and listen to the referee as I was counted out. I always just, man, that was really moving. He's again, you know, Andy, like you pointed out, he doesn't really share these kinds of, you know, feelings or emotions with us, personal stuff. And to him to just like, you know, write something like that, you know, and bring it, put it out for all of us, you know, again, something that we can all relate to and, you know, very moving.
That's very, very, very moving.
Yeah. Like you said, that entire album is just one big emotional.
It really is.
A ball of something.
You had it right. You had it right there, Matt. You were spot on.
You can't help but feel something when you listen to that album.
Right. All right, Andy, we'll go with you second.
No, I think Matt's up right now. And Matt, is Matt's turn.
Go ahead. Matt, you're second. Oh, okay, go ahead. You're second number three.
Number three. Okay. Yep. This is a little simple one, but you know, I don't know. You guys are kind of young bucks, but I'm kind of an old guy. You know, I'm in that upper middle age range. I'm going to be turning the big 6-0 next week.
Happy early birthday, Matt Street.
The only reason I announced that is because it fits with this little song.
It's,
you know,
when this episode is posted, it'll be your birthday. So
it'll probably be my birthday. Yeah. Good or bad, I don't know. But anyway, those golden years, I don't know how golden they are, you know. But anyway, you still have something positive to share. You can still give something, no matter how old you are, an old fart like me, whatever. You can still give something to others and be good to others and share a piece of yourself with others. And don't let the put downs hurt you. Just be yourself, make others feel good about themselves. And that's what it's all about in life. And I love Sweetest Show for that. Two simple little lines. You've been around for a long time, but you're still good for a while. And if they try to criticize you, make them smile. Make them smile.
Great lyric.
There's no major, you know, 15-letter words in that little phrase, but it means so much, and it resonates a lot with me. So that's my
third awesome. I love that, Matt. See, there you go. Sweetest little show. Simple two lines. You know, you've been around a long time, but you're still good for a while. Make him smile. Just make him smile. It's great. Right. It's great advice.
That's McCartney. That's McCartney. That's great.
Yeah. He has a way of doing that.
He really does. I love that. That's a deep cut there, Matt Street. I like that.
That's a deep one. Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. Very good.
All right, Andy, you're up for your third.
Okay. Sorry. I keep going deep on these. I'm going for these deep ones, but these are the ones that stick with me. Right. Okay. I went with, on the day that I die, I'd like jokes to be told and stories of old to be rolled out like carpets that children have played on and laid on while listening to stories of old. The end of the end from Memory Almost Full. Right. My God. I was like almost in tears when I heard that song for the first time. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
Paul
talking about, you know, his immortality and how he's not going to be here forever. And it's, you know, again, the only time he's ever done that on record.
It still makes the hair on my neck rise or give goosebumps every time you listen to it. Really, I mean, I try not to listen to it too much, you know, because I want it to always just, you know, stay fresh and, you know, in my mind. But yeah, it's so moving. Just think about that day is eventually going to come. You know what I mean?
And for him to take that on shocked me when he did that.
Right.
Was that 2007, that album?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, he was only a man in his
60s.
Maybe a little older than I am now. Yeah. You know,
right. He would have been about 65, maybe.
Yeah. And he was facing that and taking that on. I thought that was phenomenal.
But you hear that song and then he has the other verse where he says it again. And it's just like, it just hits you like a ton of bricks, that lyric. Yeah,
right.
But it's one that always, you know, you a lump in the throat when you hear
that's
that.
A great.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go with the fourth set of lyrics here. And Matt, we're back to you starting off.
Oh, back to me. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep the ball rolling then because Andy just did one of mine. I switched it around a little bit, but I had at the end of the end also, but I have different lyrics
good.
The song.
Right.
But we're on that theme, so let's just keep it going. And I love this part of the song. At the end of the end, it's the start of a journey to a much better place.
Right.
This wasn't bad, so a much better place would have to be special. There's no reason to cry. There's no reason to be sad at the end of the end.
Right.
And you know, we all face that ourselves, and we've all lost loved ones in our life, whether they be family or friends. And just knowing that there's a better place and that we're going to meet them again and share that love and with them one day. I don't, you know, want to bring this down, but
to me,
that song, and I'm so happy someone else besides myself picked it, Andy. That's great because it's just one of the best lyrics Paul's ever written in his entire career. Yeah. And, that's all I'll say about it. It's just a fabulous song.
No, that's right. And we're just going to keep that ball rolling because
you have it too.
Wow, we got one. That's great.
But I put the second verse down there, which is my favorite because I mean, what I'm going to remember most about Paul is the songs that he's sung for us. So it's like on the day that I die, I like bells to be rung and songs that were sung to be hung out. Like blankets that lovers have played on and laid on while listening to songs that were sung, you know, so that was, you know, that was my,
so we all had this one and we knew we had,
that's cool that we all had different,
and different sections of the lyrics.
Yeah. I took a simpler section, which is kind of very basic, but it just, I don't know, for some reason that one really resonated with me, but I love your two picks in that song as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I will remember when that day comes, unfortunate day comes, is the songs that he sung, you know, and I think I don't know if that's what he was trying to tell us, you know, that the music is still going to be there, you know, after he goes.
Right, right.
But you never know. Yeah. Andy, how about you, my friend?
What, next round?
Yeah. We're number four.
Wait, this is a four. Okay, sorry. I'm jumping ahead of my notes here. No, four. Okay. I don't know if this might be obvious. I don't know. But I went with, and if I said I really loved you and was glad you came along, then you were here today for you were in my song. I actually am not going to say much more than that because if I do, I'm going to start crying.
Yeah, that's.
So,
yeah. No, it's powerful. Yeah, that's very powerful.
The last verse, though, that's the last part of the song. The verse that ends the song is the one that I went with. Because he says you were in my song. So, yeah.
No. And that's the, you know, seeing him live a couple times. The two times I saw him that he was doing that song, you know, you can hear the emotion in his voice while he's singing that song.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, personally, I think it's time for him to give that one up and do something else. But you know, it's always emotional to see him sing that song when he's live.
And again, he related it to John, but I think all of us here can relate it to somebody in our life.
And again, perfect point.
I wish I could tell you again, I loved you. I wish I could share that moment with you, you know?
Yeah. No, good point. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because, we all know it's about John. Somebody listening to it that's just a casual fan might not know.
May or not.
Somebody
who
never listened to it might not know. And it could give them the feeling that it could be about someone in their family or a friend or something like that. So that's, I think, one of the great things about that song is that, we know it's about John, but, you know, other people who don't know that song might not, you know, get that same feeling for it. They could relate to somebody else. But all right, we're going to our fifth pick already. Damn,
wow,
it's going by quick.
Wow, that's good. Hey, we're efficient, right?
Yes,
we are.
Exactly.
We know what we want to say.
You're right.
Who's up? You, Tom, or Matt?
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay.
And this is from my favorite song of the last 21 years. This Riding the Vanity Fair. I've always said that this
that's a cool.
Yeah, my favorite of his songs from the last 21 years. But the definition of friendship apparently ought to be showing support for the one that you love. And I was open for friendship, but you didn't seem to have any despair, you know, while you're riding the Vanity Fair. That's has always been, you know, moving for me. And again, another, like, how kind of you, another aspect of Paul that he just doesn't necessarily always give us, you know, in his songs. So I've always, you know, been very moved by that one. So
that's a deep cut, like Andy said earlier. Deep cuts are cool.
I love the deep cuts. Deep
cuts are great. All right, Andy, let's go with you for your fifth pick.
Fifth one and final one. I went with the same album from the last one. I went with Tug of War. In years to come, they may discover what the air we breathe and the life we lead are all about, but it won't be soon enough for me. I love that lyric. It's the bridge. It's the bridge of the song. It opens. It crashes right in. The guitars crash in there. And it's much musically as I like it, but I love just that what he's talking about. You know, they might discover what all this is about, but it's not going to be soon enough. I need to know. I love that. I love that that whole vibe of that lyric. You know, it just comes crashing right out of the gates. And it's ever since I was a young boy when I heard that song, that part of that song just made the goosebumps on my
arm
just stick right up. And they still do 30 years later.
No,
I was going to say, to this day.
Yeah.
To this day, that song can, I will never skip that song.
How could you? Yeah. So I went with two from Tug of War, a little bit obvious, but I did.
All right, Matt, you're up for number five for you, my friend.
All right, my number five is in honor of Father's Day, being today's Father's Day. The connection between a father and a son. It's just, you know, we all have different relationships with our dads, but you hope that he was a role model to you, a mentor, and you had that strong relationship with him where he could lead you on the right path in life. And I have to say that I've had ups and downs with my father, like we all have. Right. Parenting has never been perfect for anybody, but I love my father. I'm a father myself, and now I'm a grandfather. And so this song right here, Put It There, is the song that encapsulates all of that for me, of being a role model to others, being a mentor, and having that loving relationship with a father, son, or grandfather, you know, that type of thing. So it's Give Me Your Hand, I'd Like to Shake It. I want to show you I'm your friend. You'll understand if I can make it clear it's all that matters in the end. Put it there if it weighs a ton. That's what a father said to his young son. As long as you and I are here, put it there. Put it there.
Matt, you're killing me. You're killing me. I love it.
And I don't want to get too sentimental, but my dad is still here. He lives with us. Right. He's got his own little place. He's 91 in a couple of months. And
wow. God bless.
To, you know, like I said, ups and downs. No relationship is perfect, but you know, I love him, and he's did the best he could for me. I tried to do the best I could for my kids. I wasn't perfect, and I think you guys can relate to that too. You
know, absolutely.
I had to pick that song in honor of him and today.
Very appropriate lyric.
Very appropriate. Absolutely, great stuff, and. Yeah.
Oh, hats off to, I didn't even mention Paul. Hats off to Paul for writing such a profound lyric that really shines a light on that relationship of a father and a son like that. It's just a great.
No, I mean, you did not disappoint with your picks at all. And your reasonings are great too. I love it. So, but yeah. Okay. So we also have some honorable mentions that we too, because I mean, there's just so many.
Oh man.
So many lyrics that brings us joy, and then we will sing out loud in the car. I even sing some of the stuff out loud at work. You know, I don't care who hears it, you know, when I'm going. And
like good sign, right? You're at work singing. That's a good sign. Good sign. Cutting the broccoli? Is you cutting the broccoli? Good sign. I got a brother who's younger than me, and he digs that song because he's kind of like from that disco-y, dancey 80s era, and he loves Good Sign. He thinks it's great.
Fun, really? You know. That's a deep cut.
You know, it's got that
very deep cut.
Yeah. Yes.
Danceable song.
Very like you're in a club, you know? You're in a club, and it just starts going.
Yeah, you picture the lights going and things spinning.
Right, yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right, so we also have some honorable mentions. I got two that I'll rattle off. Silly love song, Say What You Want about the song. We all know it's silly, but it's so catchy. But I love the bridge or the middle eight, whatever you want to call it. The love doesn't come in a minute. Sometimes it doesn't come at all. I only know that when I'm in it, it isn't silly. Love isn't silly at all. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
And I never fails for me to not sing that part of the song when, you know, when it comes,
especially when he's live and he's got the Rickenbacker fucking just kicking ass.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking just marching across the stage. Yeah. Oh my God,
man. So good. Yeah. And that's one of my favorite parts of that song. Again, another one, it's kind of, you know, controversial because it kind of almost started a little bit of the McCartney Lennon, you know, back and forth, war in the albums, but it's also kind of ironic now. But
what, too many people?
Too many people preaching practices. Don't let them tell you what you want to be. Too many people holding back. This is crazy and baby. It's not like me. That pretty much almost ends the song. But again, it's crazy because he's, you know, he's saying these things now, and then when you look at him now, you know, because you know now he's pushing. You know, he's preaching, you know, vegetarianism, you know, and the no landmine thing, you know, with Heather, you know, so yeah, I mean, he's got his, you know, his agenda as well, just like John did, you know, so he's kind of preaching practices himself these days.
Right.
So, but that doesn't make the lyric any less, you know, brilliant in my opinion. I think it's a pretty brilliant line myself. That's
compelling stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, Andy, let's go with you on your
honorable mention. I just had one honorable mention. I didn't have time. I only had the one, but my honorable mention is Smiles in the Sunshine and Tears in the Rain still take me back where my memories remain from Walk and Tire. Man, when I hear that part of the song, you know, the bagpipes swirling all over the place. You know, and it's already 3.5 minutes into the song, and now you hear Smiles in the Sunshine and Tears, but the memories, man, that takes you back to whatever you might have been going through or hearing that song, you know, that just the memories come flooding back when you hear that, and the bagpipes just, you know, you hear all that stuff coming together, and it's just it could be your childhood, it could be anything you went through, you know, you hear all this, that's, and it just, Paul has such a great ability to put tug at those heartstrings, and he, that's a lyric I think he does that very well with, you know, he does.
That's great. That's
cool.
That's all one right, of Matt, my favorites.
Of course, on honorable mentions.
I've got one also. I just picked one extra one here, and it, I've got too much on my plate. I don't have any time to be a decent lover.
I like it.
Whoa! I hope it isn't too late. Searching for the time that's gone so fast. the time I thought would last, my ever-present past.
Nice.
And when I think of that song, and especially those lines there, it's just about, again, not to sound like an old fogey, but life being so hectic, so stressful. There's no time for anything. Years just fly by right after one another. Where have they gone? I don't know. I can't find them. I don't know what happened to them. I thought things would last forever. They don't. It doesn't. And live in the present, folks. Live in the present. The past is gone. You've got to enjoy the moment because it's going to slip
once
away.
Once it's gone, it's gone. Right.
And I just love the way Paul, you know, used the lyrical gymnastics with that song. It just says so much in those few little lines, you know.
Yeah,
so that's my honorable mention. Ever Present Past from
Love
from
It. Almost Again, Full. another good one on a single that should have done better than what it did. Unfortunately, unfortunately, you know, when that that album came out, the single wasn't really what it used to be.
Right.
And Paul being played on radio wasn't what it used to be either. Unfortunately. No.
Yeah. Exactly. You know?
Because I think that song had all the right ingredients. I mean, I think it was catchy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Too damn loud.
Years earlier, it would have been top 10. You know,
It would have been. So. Yeah. It would have been. That would have been. If that had come out around Flowers in the Dirt time, maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, maybe produced a little bit better. Because, damn it, it's a great song. It's just too loud.
Well, that whole album, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's something we always say. Well, Andy, what would you say? I mean, for me, like when I look back at albums that are probably really just strong lyric wise, you know, I look at like Tug of War. Obviously, you picked a couple songs from Tug of War. Look at Chaos and Creation.
You picked strong
lyrically. Even Memory Was Full, even though we tease about the loudness of the album, I think, you know, lyrically,
very
you know,
strong.
It's very strong as well. I mean, what would you think? I mean, as a complete albums, you know, would be strong, you know, lyrically for a newer fan that are a fan of Paul's lyrics. I mean, what were some of the ones you think
to tackle with lyrics? I don't, you know. Maybe, I mean, if it depends on what they're in. If they want kind of funky Paul, I mean, they could listen to Ram, you know, they're into that, you know, because there's these albums all have different moods to them, you know,
so,
you know, Band on the Run. I mean, there's a lot of kind of nonsense lyrics on that, you know, Picasso's Last Words, Mammonia, you know, it all depends. I mean, what are they looking for? I mean, I would think if you're going to go for pure songwriting analysis and you say, look, just check this guy out as a songwriter, I would say go with Tug of War or Chaos. Mm. I would.
Okay. All right.
You know, again, songwriter, from a songwriter perspective.
Right. What do you think, Matt?
Well, the first one that jumped into my mind was Chaos and Creation in the Backyard for Bearing of the Soul. Just opening up. You're opening up and just... So lyrically, I would say that one. Musically, I mean, there's so many. Andy mentioned some great ones. I mean, Tug of War, I love. I like Flaming Pie. I like a lot of the songs.
A lot of great lyrics on that,
Yeah. But
I'm surprised we didn't pick anything from Flaming Pie, too, because, you know,
I thought about Calico Skies at one point, and it slipped off my list, but it was in the workings.
It was in mine, too.
Yeah, I mean, the first two verses of Calico Sky was a part of my wife and I's wedding, you know. So
I think that's the one I was focusing in on. That it was written that I would love you.
And
the moment I opened my eyes. I mean, it's beautiful words. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then plus, you know, he had all that inspiration from doing the Beatles anthology, you know, so you can tell that I think. Flaming Pie was one of his better albums lyrically.
Absolutely. That album would go on that list as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The
one that jumped out though was Chaos as far as pure like emotion. No,
agreed. Yeah. Agreed 100% in my opinion. But great. Okay. This was a great little list on our favorite lyrics on McCartney. So Matt, you know, again, we appreciate you being here. Let's talk about your channel again. Some of the things that you're doing. We love the Fab Gab. Obviously, Andy and I have been.
Oh, yeah, you guys have been there. That's great. I hope you guys both come back again soon. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So, you and Joe. right?
Yeah, thanks to Joe for even asking me. He just he wanted to start a little show thing on the side, and so would you like to be one of the people that do it? And I said, geez, I'm honored. Thank you that you even would think of me. You know, I mean, he was like one of the first, like I told you earlier, one of the first guys I got into on YouTube in the Beatles realm. And yeah, I love Fab Gab. It's a lot of fun just to talk Beatles. You know, it's
Matt, what are you guys up to? You're up to Let It Be now, right?
We're doing, I don't think I'm allowed to announce a special guest yet, but there's a special guest doing Let It Be with us next Sunday night.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun because, you know, Let It Be is one of those albums that's, you know, sometimes I love it and I think it's one of the greatest things they ever did. And then other times I'm like, I don't think it holds a candle to some, I don't know. I go back and forth on Let It
Be. Now, have you guys talked about what you're going to do? Are you going in terms of straight up the chronology of the solo stuff, or are you just doing the solo guys individually?
I don't think I'm talking out of school to say this. I think Joe said rather than do chronology, which could get boring, like, okay, which one was released first? Oh, Sentimental Journey. We're going to start. He says we may not necessarily do that. We may jump around more with the solo stuff
to keep it
interesting.
Sure.
Keep people hopping a little bit. So I'm looking forward to the solo stuff because I think there'll be more room for having a little more fun with, praising and put downs, Because the Beatles, I couldn't find a lot to like, we were like gushing through the whole thing pretty much, but I think with the solo years it'll be a little more loose, you know.
Yeah, some of those albums are tough to rank, absolutely. I mean, obviously there are some songs in my opinion that I love more than others, so ranking these songs I find kind of easy from time to time. But yeah, I mean, doing the Beatle ones though, it is pretty tough.
It was tough. I mean, it was fun doing it, but we got getting our feet wet, but that was hard. It was really difficult. Yeah.
You know, there's another genre of music. You're a huge champion of the power pop. I don't know if you want to call it a genre. It's a whole thing. But you also do a show too with Stephen Schnee, who he's got his own channel on YouTube as well. He's a great voice. He has great voice for radio.
He's awesome. He's a music journalist, a writer, and he does all kinds of great stuff. And it's more of a part-time show. We don't have like a regular time slot every week where we do it, but it's called the Matt and Steve Show. We basically we do interviews with different power pop people or bands and things, and or we'll talk about just general stuff in the power pop world. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, we kind of just got that rolling. It's kind of an occasional show, maybe once, twice a month, but who knows? Maybe we'll do more in the future. You know.
Right. Now we were talking before last week about how if you find that these power pop musicians are they, Beatles fans? And you pretty much overwhelmingly said, yeah. I mean, their first love is Beatles music.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the foundation of power pop is the Beatles with the songs like Another Girl and You're Gonna Lose That Girl and Your Bird Can Sing. That's the root of the bands I started getting into heavily into the 70s, going into the 80s. I was always kind of like chasing that high, so to speak. You hear songs like And Your Bird Can Sing and You Can't Do That and stuff like that. And then when you're looking for other music to get into, that's what I was always looking for. And so that's why I would look to bands like Badfinger, the Raspberries, the Knack, the Romantics, all those bands that had that.
I was going to ask you, what do you think are some of your favorite power pop bands through the years?
Oh my goodness. Badfinger. I like Big Star, although they're not considered pure power pop, but Badfinger, Big Star, Raspberries, Cheap Trick, the Knack, even though they had a very brief career, the Knack were great. The Romantics. Oh my goodness. 80s Marshall Crenshaw. Oh my God.
I
could go on and on all night and tell you all the bands I love in that genre, but if they have that Beatles vibe to them, that early Beatles vibe, I should say, like pre-66 and earlier Beatles, that jangle pop, that 12-string Rickenbacker bliss, so to speak, then I'm all over that band. I love them. And there's a lot of newer bands doing that today that I'm into, like the Grip Weeds and the Weaklings. And there's bands you can discover out there nowadays that are very heavily involved in that genre, and I love it. I eat it up,
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So, yeah, that's the Matt and Steve show, right? And then that's, you said it's not, it's like a, maybe once a month or so.
Yeah, yeah. You can find it on my channel or on Steve's channel. We go back. Okay. Sometimes it's posted on mine or his. Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay. And then Fab Gab is almost weekly. That's on Mean Mr. Mayo's YouTube channel as well.
Yeah. Occasionally we'll take breaks for holidays or if we have personal things going on, but semi regular on Sundays usually. Yeah.
Right. And then your channel, Matthew Street, why don't you give it one last plug before we sign off here?
Oh, yeah. If anyone's watching, you haven't checked out, come over and check out the Matthew Street channel. I'm mainly Beatles. I'd say six to seven out of 10 videos of mine are Beatles, and then three or four are Elvis or power pop or other types of subjects. So, yeah, please come on over and see if you like it. Thanks.
Before we sign, one more question for some. Give us your real, give us your honest opinion about the All Things Must Pass crate.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I have no problem with things like that. If somebody wants something like that and they can manage to afford getting it, I'm all, God bless you, get it. I can't wait to see it. And I know you guys are, I don't want to give too much away here, but I heard that maybe one or two of you might be leaning towards it. So if that's the case, I'll be the first to watch you guys talk about it. If I hear Joe's getting one, I'll be watching that. I think it's wonderful. I honestly love whatever the solo Beatles or the Beatles camp, so to speak, puts out. I'm all over it if I can be all over it. And if I can't get it or something I just don't want personally, I still am happy for anyone who gets things like that or able to enjoy those things. I say go for it. So, no, I'm excited about this big box set, and I can't wait to see other people getting it.
Because you do consider yourself a collector, though, as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. I do. I'm collecting all the Paul archive series, like the Flaming Pie. I didn't get that gigantic one, but I got the next. I didn't get the $600 one, but I got the next level down, and I love it. I think it's absolutely stunning. It's a beautiful set. So, yeah, I collect that, and I'm going to get the next level down in George's All Things Must Pass. I'm going to get the Super Deluxe 5 CD Blu-ray. I'm going to get that, and I'm going to love it. So, I'm a collector. I get what I can. What I can, my resources will allow me to pursue. I'm all over it. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Great. Excellent. Andy, what do you want to talk about? You guys, you're going to be doing another episode of Anything But the Beatles here soon?
Yeah, Ethan Alexander and I are going to do another episode of Anything But the Beatles before the end of the month.
I like that title.
Yeah, it's a good one, and we're going to be covering the Beach Boys' 1977 Love You album. We're looking forward to a wacky, wacky little thing that Wilson did there at the end of the 70s, but we like it anyway.
You know, yeah, I've never heard the album before, so I have no idea what I'm walking into.
Oh, Matt, are you a Beach Boys fan, Matt, or not really?
I love the Beach Boys, yes, absolutely love them. I'm not a mega collector, like I don't have everything by them, but I have stuff from all eras right up to That's Why God Made the Radio, which is an album I love.
Oh, great album.
I enjoy that album so much. So, yeah, no, I'm a Beach Boys fan from
way back. So, yeah, love you.
And want to ask you, where can I find Anything But the Beatles? Where can I find that? I don't think.
Yeah, YouTube. There's a channel. There's a YouTube channel.
It's called Anything But the Beatles?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
It's on Facebook. Right. It's on YouTube. And Ethan and I made a YouTube channel. It's it's very, very small. We only just launched it about a
month. Yeah. I will be there. I'm going to look for that. Thank you.
We did two episodes. We did one on, our first one was on the Who Sell Out. Okay. Yeah. Because the box set came out. And then we did the second one on ELO's 1981 Time. LP.
Oh, I love that album. I'm telling you, I'm there.
We did. That album. And we geeked out for about an hour and 10 minutes on Time and Jeff Lynne and everything else.
That's great.
So yeah,
I'm glad I'm learning about it. I'm sorry I didn't know about it earlier. But
it's a little small offshoot thing that he and I do. And he does great work with the artwork and stuff on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah. Check it out.
Oh, I will be there. Thanks.
Great. Excellent. So be on the lookout for that. So that might be posted by the time this is posted. So check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. You can find us on our YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast. That's where you're going to see all of our wonderful, smiley, bright faces. and, you know, having a good time with all of our guests. And Matt, we really appreciate you being here again. Looking forward to having you on again in the future, because you're so much fun to talk to, and you're very knowledgeable, and we love having you on.
So it's an honor. I thank you for even thinking of me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Absolutely. Email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Our website, twolegspodcast.com. And you can find us audio-wise everywhere: iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon, right? Everywhere where podcasts are played, you'll find us there. And we're really bumping up our subscribers on our YouTube channel, because eventually we're going to be live there. That's the goal anywhere, is to be live most of the time. And continuing our show there, and hopefully we get that kicked off the ground soon.
Yes.
And anyways, everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. Matthew Street, as always, you're welcome here whenever.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody out there, as usual, have a great day and a beautiful night.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and